Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another broadcast of Sunshine USA here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And this is me, Warren Landis. I'm your host and Bible teacher this morning here on Sunshine USA. And it is so great to have you tuned in to the program. Many of you know that we're in the midst of the Christmas season. And one of the things that I have asked my listeners to do for me during this Christmas season is to send me a Christmas card. I would like to get a Christmas card, ideally, from every single listener we have, or at least as many as we'll write. And, of course, to do that, you need my snail mail address. My snail mail address is Warren Landis, 80 Thruston Street, that's T-H-R-U-S-T-O-N, 80 Thruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. And I would love to get a Christmas card from every listener. I got a Christmas card yesterday from one of our listeners. Her name is Miss Linda Blackwell. I don't think she would mind me mentioning that on the air. But her card says, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And it says on the cover of the Christmas card, Jesus is the gift. And, of course, that's the best gift of all right there, Jesus. And, of course, God on that first Christmas gave us his son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to die on the cross for your sins and mine. And that's basically what Christmas is all about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are in the midst of a study of the tabernacle. In fact, today we'll begin taking a look at the tabernacle in earnest. On the last broadcast of this series, we talked about that God wanted Moses to have the children of Israel take up a special offering. But now, this offering was a little bit different than some of the other offerings in the Old Testament, and it was even different than many of the offerings that churches have today. God wanted the children of Israel to donate some of the very fine materials they had in their home. God wanted this tabernacle built, and he wanted it built out of the very best and finest materials. One thing that we learn when we take a look at the different materials that were used in the construction of the tabernacle, we learned that these were not cheap materials. These were very expensive, very fine materials. And that lets us say that there's nothing cheap about God. God goes first class all the way. Now, I want you to look a little bit closer at some of the verses we looked at last time. Last time we looked at Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9. Where we find a listing of the materials that God wanted the Israelites to give. And he said, and this is the offering which you shall take of them. He wanted gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in ephod, and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, and after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So in these first nine verses of Exodus chapter 25, we see a listing of the different materials that God wanted used in the construction of the tabernacle. And one of the reasons he wanted this tabernacle built is he wanted to dwell among his people. Of course, we know as believers today, the Lord dwells with us. For example, when you got saved, and when you received Christ as your Savior, the Lord's Holy Spirit came and took residence inside your heart. That is God dwelling within you. And so God has always had a desire to dwell with his people. But we also know that God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God is a God that is totally sovereign. And so this tabernacle had to be built in such a way to reflect that. You know, I get a little bit insulted when people very casually refer to Jesus as their best friend. Now, I don't doubt that for 1 minute. I mean, Jesus is the best friend you could have. Jesus is the best friend that I could have. But here's the thing. Jesus is so much more than just your best friend. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we should have a certain awe and reverence before him. I am told that Ronald Reagan, back when he was president of the United States, he had an awe and a respect for the office of the presidency, and he had an awe and a respect for the Oval Office. And I am told that Ronald Reagan would never go into the Oval Office without a coat and tie on. And furthermore, he let it be known that anybody who visited him in the Oval Office, they had to comply with the dress code, and that is they had to come into the Oval Office with a coat and tie. Otherwise, you would not be allowed in to see the president. That's how much respect Ronald Reagan had for the presidency and for the Oval Office. And even so, you and I have to have a reverence for the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to recognize that he is holy and he is righteous and there's none like him whatsoever. Amen. Now, starting with verse 10 in chapter 25, we find a description of what this tabernacle is going to be looking like when it is finished. And you'll notice that Moses is given very clear and specific instructions from God. Now, I'm going to be reading for a few moments here from the New Unger's Bible Handbook, the New Unger's Bible Handbook. Anytime that we're studying the Old Testament, I frequently make reference to the New Unger's Bible Handbook. I find it to be very accurate, very reliable, and very helpful to the average Bible study student. And I'll be reading a lot on today's broadcast from the New Unger's Bible Handbook. And as far as I know, this Bible Handbook is still in print. You can order it from your favorite Christian bookstore, such as Lifeway or ChristianBook.com. Now, I'll be honest with you, ChristianBook.com is the online Christian bookstore that I typically buy most of my books and materials from. They're very good, and their prices are cheap. And I like cheap prices. Amen? Amen. So if you don't have a copy of the New Unger's Bible Handbook, I would encourage you to go to your favorite Christian bookstore, whether it be a brick-and-mortar store or an online store, and you order it. And you will find it to be very helpful to your understanding of the Word of God. And you'll be able to follow along a lot of times when we use it as a point of reference here on this particular broadcast. Okay, now, in Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 22, the first thing that we read about in the tabernacle is the ark. Now, this box, it was 3 3/4 feet long, 2 1/4 feet wide, and 2 1/4 feet high, and it was made of acacia wood overlaid with pure gold, and it held a pot of manna, the Ten Commandments, and later, it would hold Aaron's rod that budded. The mercy seat was the gold lid on top of the ark, illustrating how the divine throne is transformed from a throne of judgment to a throne of grace by the atoning blood sprinkled upon it. The two cherubim represented guardianship of the holiness of God's throne, above which was enthroned the Shekinah glory, presence of the Lord. The ark was the core of the tabernacle symbolism. God worked outward in his outreach to man. Now, this is in Exodus chapter 25, verses 10 through 22. Now, notice that the ark contained a copy of the Ten Commandments. It held a pot of manna, and later it had Aaron's rod that budded. And, of course, all of this was to remind the Israelites of all that God had done for them. And certainly today, when you and I worship the Lord, you and I should worship the Lord, remembering all that God has done for us. And most of us, if we're honest, we have so much to be thankful for. You know, a lot of times we love to complain, don't we? We love to say, well, I wish I had this, or I wish I had that. Or my life would be so much better if I only had more than I have now. But in all of that, we fail sometimes to take note of all that God has given for us in the here and now. When I look around my apartment, and of course, I record these radio broadcasts every morning in my apartment. And I look around my apartment this morning and I see some very nice things. I've got a DVD player. I've got two flat screen TVs. I've got cable TV. I've got a nice stereo radio. I mean, I've got some nice things in here. I've got a good library of books. I have some really nice stuff in here. Some of it I need, some of it I don't really need, but I'm certainly glad I got it. I mean, for example, I've got two TVs. I mean, I love watching TV in my desktop. And I try to watch good, clean, wholesome shows. But really and truly, do I need a TV? No, not really. Now, you know, being retired and not able to get out much, I mean, it does help me occupy my time a little bit, but I would survive just fine without a TV, and God's blessed me with two of them. Amen. I have a laptop computer. I have internet access. Now, a lot of this is just simply nice stuff that I'm glad I've got. I don't really need it, even though where the internet is concerned, I can use it in my work. For example, Sunshine USA would not be possible without the internet. And I've got a very nice heating system here in this apartment. And that's especially nice this time of year. I'm recording this particular broadcast in the month of December. And last night here in Greenville, South Carolina, it was pretty cold outside. I think when I got up this morning, it was 29 bone-chilling degrees outside. But I don't really know what that feels like because I didn't go outside this morning. I had my heat on here in my apartment. I had it on a nice, warm, toasty 80 degrees. I felt good. Most of us, if we're honest, we have so much to be thankful for, and we can't help but think about and pray for the homeless people out there. There's a lot of homeless people who have to sleep under a bridge at night, even on the coldest of nights. There's not always enough room for them at the shelter. And so we as Christians today, we have so much to be thankful for. And that's why these things were included inside the ark to remind the Israelites of all that God had done for them. And then on the top of the ark, we have the mercy seat. And this is where judgment was turned into mercy when blood was sprinkled upon it. You know, God has to deal with sin. But if we are covered by the blood of Jesus, then God grants unto us mercy. Do I deserve salvation? Do I deserve to go to heaven? Absolutely not. And most people that have known me for any time at all, you know good and well, I'm not a saint. I mean, I am a saint in that I am a Christian. I do know Jesus as my Savior, but I'm not without sin. Far from it. God still gives me salvation. He still promises me a home in heaven, not because of anything good about me, but because God extends unto me mercy. Mercy. God is so merciful to us. And that, by the way, is why you and I should be merciful to others. Like I've said on this program many times, when I see a drunk staggering down the road, I say, Lord, have mercy on the man. Because I realize if it weren't for the mercy of God, that could be me instead of that guy walking down the road homeless. Amen. The more you recognize how merciful God has been to you, the more you should be able to look mercifully on others. When it comes to homeless, we should ask ourselves, what can we do to reach out to them? To let them know that there is a better way of life and that what Jesus has done for us, he will gladly do for them. Amen. Amen. Now, we find that the ark was the core of the tabernacle symbolism. There were two cherubim above the ark. It represented the guardianship of the holiness of God's throne, which enthroned the Shekinah glory of the presence of the Lord. Now, by the way, this ark was located in the Holy of Holies. And I might point out that the Holy of Holies was a very highly restricted place. Only the priest, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And even then, the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies only once a year. And I am told by some Bible commentaries that some of the staff of priests, they would tie a rope around one of the legs of the high priest so that if he died or passed out inside the Holy of Holies, they would pull him out because they were not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies themselves. Now, of course, we know for us as Christians today that the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. He intercedes for us. He shed his blood for us. He is our high priest. Now, because of that, every morning when I wake up, every night when I go to bed, and as often as I can during the day, I can go to God directly in person. I don't have to go through a battery of secretaries. I don't have to punch this number and that number and another number. I can go directly into the presence of God when I pray. Amen. And I can let my requests be known. And the reason I can do that is because Jesus is our high priest, interceding for us, pleading on our behalf. He can be likened to a defense attorney arguing our case before God. Amen. Next we come to the table of showbread made of acacia wood. It was 3 feet long and 2.5, 2.25 feet high and 1.5 feet wide, and was overlaid with pure gold, upon which was placed the bread of the presence made of fine wheat flour, baked in 12 loaves, renewed every Sabbath to be eaten by the priests only. Now this bread looked forward to Christ, the bread of life, the nourisher of the believer as a priest. So this represented Jesus being the bread of life. Now you and I, when we go to a restaurant to eat, or when we sit down at our table in our homes to eat, we eat and we enjoy the meal, but you know what? Tomorrow we're going to be hungry all over again. But when Jesus gives unto us the bread of life, we're not going to be hungry anymore. We're not going to be thirsty anymore, because it is completely and fully satisfying. Amen. Amen. And then we come to the golden candlestick. This was a pure gold, seven-branched, a type of Christ, our light, shining in the plenitude of the Spirit, natural light being shut out of the tabernacle. I'm reading here from the New Hunger Bible Standbook. Now, Jesus, of course, is the light. So natural light is not needed in heaven. Now, I might point out that during the time of the creation that we read about in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you'll notice that the sun and moon were not created until the fourth day. But we have light being referred to each of the first 3 days before the sun and moon were created. So where did this light come from? Well, I'm convinced it came from God, because God is light. And in that light is life. And that's why I don't think God intended to create the sun and moon before the fourth day. He wanted the Israelites to know, and he wants us to know, that light and life does not come from the sun or the moon. It comes from God. God is the true light. We also thank God for the light of his word. This is why I always encourage believers to spend time every single day in the word of God. It will enlighten you. And as you read and study the word of God prayerfully, God will enlighten you as to what the scripture you're reading means. And it's always fresh. Even today, I could sit down and I could read a verse of scripture that I've read many times before, and yet today I'll see something in it that I never saw before. That is the light of God illuminating his word, allowing me to see that which he wants me to see. So we have this lampstand, and it provides light in the tabernacle. As I pointed out, the natural light was blocked out. This, by the way, represents the light of the world being blocked out. Now, you know, it's very interesting. We don't find a lot of preaching today on the doctrine of separation. The doctrine of separation. But the Bible makes it very clear that you and I are to be separate from the ways of the world. The Bible says we're to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, when you were born into this world, in my case, I was born into this world August 26, 1954. And ever since then, I have been in this world. And yet the Bible makes it very clear that I, as a Christian believer, I am not of this world. My true citizenship is in heaven. This life is just something I'm passing through. And of course, being almost 70 years old, I would dare say that I'm nearing the end of my journey through this thing called life. Now, I hope actually that God will give me still many more years to live. And I've already told the Lord, I said, Lord, however many more years you allow me to live, I want to use every single one of those years to bring glory to your name and to reach other people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was talking on the phone just yesterday evening to a man that's one of my closest Christian friends here on this earth. And I was sharing with him how this radio ministry called Sunshine USA got started back in 2012. It got started with me realizing how little the average church member knew about the Word of God. Even today in our churches, if I were to give out one of my Bible knowledge tests that I do in some congregations that I preach to, I always come away shocked at how little some people know about the Word of God. I remember one church I was preaching at, I gave out this test, and one of the questions was, what were the epistles? What were the epistles? And you would be surprised how many people who took that test did not know what the epistles were. One man wrote, the epistles were the wives of the apostles. Wrong. We find that in the New Testament, men like Paul and Peter and John and James, they wrote epistles to God's people in the New Testament. These are letters. So they were not the wives of the apostles. One of the questions I asked on the test, I said, what was the difference between the major prophets and the minor prophets? What was the difference between the major prophets and the minor prophets? And man, I tell you, you would be surprised at some of the answers I got. One person wrote down, the major prophets were the adult prophets, and the minor prophets were their minor children. Wrong. We find that both the major prophets and the minor prophets had a message from the Lord. And both the major prophets and the minor prophets had a message that was very, very urgent and important. The only difference, actually, between the major prophets and the minor prophets simply didn't write as much as the major prophets did. But they were still, nonetheless, prophets of God. Now, today in our society today, many of our churches have bivocational pastors. They have bivocational pastors. These are pastors that, in addition to pastoring their church, they typically work full or part-time at a secular job. But whenever I speak to these bivocational pastors as a group, I always let them know that they are just as much ministers of God as the full-time pastor in the biggest church in town. In fact, if you want to be honest about it, every Christian is a minister. If you have a church, say, with 100 members, every one of those 100 members, if they're saved, if they know Christ as their Savior, they are ministers. And it is the job of the pastor It is the job of the pastor to minister to those ministers and equip them to serve along beside him. But if you are a Christian, you are a minister. If you are a Christian, you have a ministry. God has given you spiritual gifts that he desires for you to use in ministry for the benefit of your church. Now, I think it would be a pretty good idea for every pastor to learn which spiritual gifts the different members of his congregation have. And he should equip them to serve in the church using the gifts of the Spirit that they have. If the pastor does not do this, then the pastor is very simply not doing his job. Amen. It's really that simple. Now, if you're in a church and that church doesn't have a place for you to exercise the gifts that God has given you, you need to go find a church where your spiritual gifts can be used. And pastors, let me tell you something. If you have a church member that leaves your congregation because you haven't given them an opportunity to exercise their gifts in your church, you have no right to get mad at them for leaving the church. They're simply going to go to another church, another congregation, where their gifts in the Spirit can be utilized. Because whatever gifts in the Spirit God has given you, I think that God expects you to use those gifts in the Spirit and to do so for his glory. God didn't give you a gift in the Spirit to sit down on your blessed assurance in a church pew and do nothing. When I joined the church that I am a member of today, the San Susie Church here in Greenville, I told the pastor, look, I have no desire to be just another church member. I want to be able to use the gifts of the Spirit that God has given me for the benefit of my church. And if the day ever comes that I can't do that, then I will leave. I will go to another church. And I would give the same advice to you. Amen. And folks, when I look at the world that we're living in today, when I see all the sin and corruption in most of our cities, there's no reason why we cannot equip the saints of God to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to know something. I'm fully in favor of social ministry. I really am. I am very much in favor of social ministry. I'm all in favor of feeding the poor, clothing the poor, helping them find affordable housing, helping them find a job. But as important as these social ministries are, they are simply tools to be used to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, a hungry person, they need food. But they need not just physical food. They also have need of spiritual food. Spiritual food. And if I were pastor of a church, I would see it as my duty, my responsibility, to equip the members of my church to make full use of the spiritual gifts that God has given to them. Now, as I said before, this tabernacle was to be built for the purpose of God dwelling among his people. And even today, God loves to dwell among his people. Now, today, God doesn't have the kind of tabernacle he did back in the Old Testament. Today, we find as Christians, the Lord takes up residence in our heart. He wants to have fellowship with us. And the sweetest time that you and I can have every day is that time that we spend alone with God, fellowshipping with God, and engaging ourselves in the study of God's Word. Amen. It's that simple. It's that plain. Now, for next time, I want you to read Exodus chapter 26, and I also want you to read Exodus chapter 27, and go ahead and read Exodus chapter 28 as well. So for next time, read chapters 26, 27, and 28 in the book of Exodus. And I'll comment more fully on that in the next broadcast. Now, for those of you that are interested, I would be happy to email you a diagram of the tabernacle. I could show you an artist's conception of what the tabernacle looks like. It's actually a diagram that I get from the New Ungers Bible Handbook on page number 81. But I will be glad to email you a copy of that picture. This is free of charge. I don't charge anything for it. But it would help you to see visually what the tabernacle looked like. And it will be a good thing to make reference to for the next several broadcasts as we take an in-depth look at the tabernacle. Now, like I say, if you have any Bible study questions, if you would like me to email you a picture of the tabernacle, if you have any prayer requests, the best way to do that is by email. And I have two email addresses. One email address is warrenlandis@yahoo.com, and the other one is warrenlandis@gmail.com. And once again, my snail mail address, for those of you that would like to send me a Christmas card, and like I say, I would love to get a Christmas card from every single one of you. My snail mail address is Warren Landis, 80th Ruston Street, THRUSTON, 80th Ruston Street, apartment 8510, Greenville, South Carolina, 29605. Now, that apartment number, by the way, is very important. If you don't put down the apartment number, I won't get it. But I thank the Lord for each one of you. I pray for each one of you. Now, it's true, I don't know you personally, most of you. But I love you, and I pray for you every day. And I hope that you, likewise, do the same for me. Because you guys are my family. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to do for you anything I can, especially when it comes to helping you better understand the Word of God. Because like I say, some of the best time you're going to have every day is the time that you spend reading and studying the Word of God. Well, until next time, this is Warren Landis saying goodbye. God bless you, and guess what? I'm going to see you next time on Sunshine USA.